Is it all worth it to get out of bed and come to church when God's here? Let's go in our Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 4. You say he's getting crazy. He preached from that text last week. But you know, that's what's so good about preaching. If you don't get done with it, just come back next week and finish it. We planned on getting through 11 verses last week. We got through 2. And guess what? We're going to get through 1 today. All right. Revelation chapter number 4 is what we're going to be looking at today. And let's go ahead and we're going to read just a few verses here. And you'll see today on the video screen. Last time we talked about the throne of God. Today we're going to talk about around the throne of God. What is around the throne of God? Verse number 1 of Revelation 4. It says, "And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." And verse 4 is going to be our text for today. "And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Skip down to verse number 6. "Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal." We just sung about that. "And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever." I want you to notice this in verse 10. "The 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Father, I pray that You would just bless this Word this morning. I pray that You would open our heart, that the Word may fall on good ground and make a great impact on our life today. So Lord, we praise You for Your presence. Do a work today, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you think about the future can be scary for a lot of people. Because quite frankly, you and I are afraid of things that we do not know. You and I, to a certain extent, are afraid of things that we do not know. And because you and I do not know the future, sometimes it can scare us. Because the future, whether in the world or whether just in our own lives, can be uncertain in a lot of ways to us. And today, if I were to offer you a snapshot of yourself in 10 years, would you be willing to take it? Now, this snapshot of yourself in 10 years would be what you look like in 10 years. But it would also be what your life looks like in 10 years. Most of us would say, "I do not want to look at that." And I'll tell you why. Because had you come to me 10 years ago, 16-year-old Justin, 11th grade, said, "Justin, I just found a snapshot of yourself when you're 26 years old. And you're going to be married to a beautiful girl." And I said, "Well, amen, that's what I wanted anyway." But then they just said, "Well, Justin, you're also going to be the pastor of a church in a little place called Hardin." Said, "You're also going to be having a little boy of yourself." I looked at the person that told me that and laughed him until I couldn't laugh anymore. Because I'd have said, a preacher in a town that I've never even heard of, my friends would laugh at that, my mom and dad would laugh at that. There ain't no way that's going to happen. But I tell you what, I am so thankful that God's plans are way better than my plans. And what's even funnier is about 10 years is 16-year-old Monica. She looks at her dad one day and says, "Dad, I want you to know something. That as soon as I get out of here, I'm getting as far away from a pastor's home as possible." And I sure am thankful God's plans are better. You know, even though we don't know what the future holds for our life, I'm glad we do know who holds the future. And that is our Lord. And the Bible always speaks that although we have plans, He sometimes messes up those plans. But He gives us better plans because that's the kind of God that He is. But you know, today it is not within my power, within my ability to tell you what your life is going to be like in 10 years. But I can tell you something very encouraging today. That if you are a child of God, I may not can tell you what you'll be like in a year, 5 years, or 10 years, but I can tell you what your life's going to be like forever, and that is that you are going to be around the throne of God, worshiping Him forever and ever. So I don't know about you, the future sure is looking good for children of God. And today, if you're a child of God, I'm actually going to give you a snapshot of yourself in the future. Now, you're not going to see yourself in 10 years, but however many years, when you and I all meet together in heaven, I'm going to show you yourself today. Because what's so amazing about this text today is there are great people that we study about in the Word of God. I know we place them on a pedestal sometimes. Abraham, you read about Sarah, you read about David, Daniel, and Esther, and all those people. It's a privilege to have their life in the Bible. But did you know you and I are in the Bible too? You and I are also in the Bible. We're found in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter number 5. For when the Apostle John began to see these visions of heaven, when he saw these people kneeling around God's throne, he saw the blood-washed children of God from all the ages. And I believe in all my heart that when the Apostle John saw it, he got to see Justin, he got to see Johnny, he got to see Carl, he got to see Courtney and Monica, he saw all these people kneeling around the throne of God. And let me ask you a question. Did he see you? You know, that gets me excited just to think about that. That 2,000 years ago, John got to see all this in the future. And when he looked, there was somebody named Justin kneeling around God's throne. Isn't that amazing? Because by the way, once you get saved, it's signed and it's sealed and it's done. There can't nothing away. Take that away from you. Now last week we discussed Revelation 4, actually verses 1 through 3, and we saw the one who was seated around on the throne, and that was God the Father. But today we want to direct our attention to verse number 4. Because right after John sees the throne and right after he saw God the Father seated upon the throne, his eyes get turned to these 24 elders that were seated around the throne. And when you read verse 4, the natural question is, who in the world are these 24 elders? So that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to give you three things about these 24 elders, and we'll be done, okay? Number one, I want you to see that these 24 elders, they are the redeemed. They are the redeemed. You know, this week I studied a lot of these commentators, if you will, on this text to see who these 24 elders were. And about a lot of them from 100, 200 years ago will tell you that these elders are nothing more than angels. There are angels that are around the throne that worship God forever and ever. But I'm going to show you that that cannot be the case, that they are angels. If you still have your Bible, flip one page, chapter 5, verse number 8. Chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "And when He, Jesus, the Lamb, had taken the book, the four beasts," and here they are again, "the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." And listen to verse 9. "And they sung," this is the 24 elders, "they said, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation." It says, you have redeemed us by Your blood. Now, that can't be angels. Because angels are not redeemed by the blood of Christ. The only people that are redeemed by the blood of Christ are born again believers. So these 24 elders right here from that text tells you that they are redeemed people who have been redeemed and born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you ask the question, well, why in the world is there only 24 then? Because I don't know about you, I sure hope there's more than 24 born again believers in heaven. Because you know what that means? Some of y'all ain't going. So why in the world is there only 24? I'll tell you why there's only 24. And I want you to listen closely. In the Old Testament, if you were born in the family of Levi, Levi was a son of Jacob. And if you were a male that was born in the family of Levi, you were automatically made a priest. You were made a priest. So therefore, as Levi's family began to grow down throughout time, down throughout the ages, you've got hundreds upon thousands of males in the family of Levi. And of course, priests were those who served in the temple. They served in the tabernacle. They were the ones who slayed the lambs, put them on the altar. They did everything to serve God there in the Old Testament. That was the family of Levi. Well, when you have hundreds and thousands of males who were priests, all of them can't serve at the same time, can they? So what God had to do in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, He divided them up into guess how many groups? 24. He divided these priests up into 24 different groups. In each group, whether it was 50, 100, 150, 200, each group had a leader of that group. And the leader of those 24 groups, they were nothing more than doing something. They were representing the entire population of priests. So, in the Old Testament, the 24 priests were nothing more than representatives of the entire group of priests. So when you get to Revelation chapter number 4, these 24 elders do the exact same thing. They are nothing more than representatives of the entire group of born-again priests. Believers. So that's exactly why there's 24. They represent you and I as the church, as the born again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe me, there are way more than 24 born again believers. You say, well, where do you see that? Chapter 5, verse number 11 and verse number 12. Quite possibly my two favorite verses in Revelation. Check this out. Verse number 11, John says, "And then I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders." There they are again. And how many were there? The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands upon thousands. For all you math whizzes, 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. And thousands upon thousands. And they said with a loud voice, Johnny, "Worthy is the Lamb." Now for all of y'all who don't think church should be loud, you ain't going to like heaven. Because can you imagine 100 million people standing around the Lamb of God all singing in one accord? You want to talk about loud? Oh yeah. Now I don't know about you, but this week when I just began to sit in my office and close my eyes and imagine myself within that big old choir. 100 million born-again, redeemed Christians looking at the face of the Lord Jesus Christ just crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb." If you give me something, I'll throw it right now. One of my favorite choirs in this world is the Hardin Community Baptist Church Choir. But besides them, Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. And they sing a song called "Worthy is the Lamb." I don't know how many people they have up there at one time. 200. Right around 200. And when 200 people get together and they begin to sing "Worthy is the Lamb," it makes you want to cry, shout, run, or just do something. I can't imagine 100 million people standing around the throne saying, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." Can I tell you today, I don't know what my life's going to be like in 5 years. I don't know what it's going to be like in 10, 15, 20 years. But I do know what it's going to look like forever. And it is that. So the future's looking real good for me. I don't know about you. I'm not scared about what's coming in the future because today I'm a child of God. And God's already said what's coming. Because on that day I'm going to get to look at the face of my Savior who died on the cross for me, and I'm going to get to look at Him, and all throughout the ages, without any hindrance, without any sin, without any problems, I'm going to be able to look at Him and praise Him forevermore. And I sure am looking forward to that. Our future is looking bright today as children of God, because we are those 24 elders worshiping around the throne of God. Today, the 24 elders are not only the redeemed, they're also the robed. Verse 4 in Revelation 4:4 says, "And round about the throne upon 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment." They were clothed in white raiment. Now, I'm not going to spend much time on this point, but this is further evidence that this is the church. Because Revelation 3, Jesus is talking to the church, and He says, Revelation 3, verse 5, "He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life." So He promised the church to the one who overcomes, he would be clothed in a white robe. And Brother Johnny, I believe that this white robe represents nothing more than the very righteousness that Christ has given to us. It is the righteousness, the pure righteousness that Christ has given to us. Look at there. We're already on point 3. Yeah. Some of y'all just woke up. Point 3, they're thinking, oh honey, it's almost lunchtime. They're not only the redeemed, the road, but they're also the rewarded. And what you don't know is I got 10 pages of notes on point 3. So, go back to sleep. Point number 3. They are the rewarded. Look at what it says. Not only are they clothed in white raiment, verse 4, but they had on their heads crowns of gold. They had on their heads crowns of gold. Now I want you to know something. In the book of Revelation, there are two different types of crowns. Number one, it is the diadem. A diadem is one different kind of crown. And a diadem is only for a king or only for a ruler of the world or the ruler of a nation. And that's why in Revelation 19, verse 12, when Christ comes back, it says He had on His head many crowns. Many crowns. And the Greek word for crowns there is the word diadem. And that's why we sing in that song, "Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all." Because that's what that is. So a diadem is that which only goes to a king. But the second word for crown is the Greek word stephanos, and that goes to people like in the Olympics, when you would run the 100 meter, if you came in first, second, or third place, they would bring you a crown while you stood up upon the podium and give you a reward for the way you ran in the race. And what's interesting about verse 4 is that is the exact word there for crown, is the word Stephanio. So they had on their heads crowns of gold. Do you know what that means? That means these crowns that were handed out to the born again, the 24 elders here, were crowns given out as a reward to them. They were crowns given out as a reward. That means since they are born again believers, and since you and I are born again believers, guess what? You and I have opportunities to earn rewards by the way we serve God. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. But you and I have opportunities to earn rewards one day for the way that we serve God down here. Now, all of us in the back of our mind might be saying, yeah, but none of us deserve to be crowned with anything. Only Christ does. And that's exactly right. But Jesus promised throughout the Gospels that those who faithfully follow Him on earth, He would give them rewards for it. He promised it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He promised to give rewards to those who faithfully follow Him. And did you know that that's what our judgment is all about? The judgment seat of Christ is all about that. Growing up all your life, I can guarantee you heard the exact same thing I heard. That when the day we die, we are going to stand before God. And right behind God, there is going to be a movie projector just like this one. And on that movie projector, He's going to put your life up there. And every single bad thing you did, He is going to put on that screen and He's going to press pause. And He's going to say, "Now, what happened there?" But let me say this. That's not the case. When you study the Word of God, that can't be the case. You see, when we stand before God, the Bible does not say we're going to be judged for our sins, because 2,000 years ago, somebody was already judged for our sins. And when the Bible says He washed away our sins, the Bible says that God does not remember our sins anymore. So if God doesn't remember our sins anymore, why in the world would He bring them back up on Judgment Day? The Bible says He's thrown our sins into the depths of the sea. So let me tell you something. Next time you're laying in bed and something comes to you that you did 5, 10 years ago and you just can't seem to get over it, that's not God bringing it up to you. That's the adversary himself. Because God may forget our sins, but Satan don't. And that's why he brings them up to you. But the next time Satan starts reminding you about your past, go ahead and remind him about his future. That there's a lake of fire coming for him. And our sins have been washed away through the blood of Christ. You say, well, when I stand before God, we are going to be judged. The Bible teaches that. You say, well, what am I going to be judged for? Well, let's see. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Paul says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may, everybody say this word, receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So what you're going to be judged for is that you're going to receive something. He said, so that everyone may receive. So the judgment seat of Christ is a time where Christ is going to give his followers rewards for all they've done for him in their time on earth. Now, I don't know about you, but when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I don't want to stand there lamenting over the fact that I missed opportunities to serve God. I want to stand there and be so glad that God gave me every opportunity and I took those opportunities to serve Him. Because the Bible says we'll be rewarded for the way that we serve Him. You say, well, how in the world can I be rewarded? How can I receive some of these crowns at the judgment seat of Christ? This may shock some of you this morning, and I hope it does. Do you realize you don't have to be a pastor, a youth pastor, a Sunday school teacher, a choir director, or anything to receive rewards from God on that day? Did you know that? The Bible teaches in many places in the New Testament where you and I can receive rewards by doing something in serving God. The first one, I would just want to give you a few. And I'm done. The first thing God rewards His people for is when you surrender your life to Him. And I'm not talking about when you get saved. I'm talking about after you get saved and say, God, You're mine. Do whatever You want to do with my life. Peter just said, Jesus, we've left everything and followed You. What are we going to get? Jesus said, He'll receive 100-fold. Now, in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecution. Yeah, that's coming too. And in the world to come, eternal life. So in other words, you're going to be rewarded for the way that you surrender your life to Me. I've mentioned these people to you before. In my home church, there were two, a man and a woman that were married. And you want to talk about living the American dream. When you looked at them, they was living it. I mean, they've got a huge house. I think there was a pool in the back. He's driving an F-250, brand new, didn't have 1 mile on it. Working a job, making over 6 figures. Coming home every day. I mean, that's comfortable. You're living the American dream. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But you know what they did? God called them to be missionaries. And about 6 months later, if you were to walk back into their house, you know what you'd have found? There wasn't one TV. There wasn't one couch. There wasn't one bed. In the middle of the living room was 3 suitcases. And they said, we're gone. And they flew to Indonesia that night and left everything they had except 3 suitcases. That's all they had. Now, don't you think God's going to reward them for that one day? Because they've been over there for the past 4 to 5 years, and I think over 25 people have come to Christ. God is going to faithfully reward them because they faithfully served Him. I don't know about you, but that convicts me a little bit. Because we need to surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this stuff down here, guess what? It's just stuff. We brought nothing into this world, Paul says, and it is certain we can take nothing out. He rewards us for the way that we surrender our lives to Him. But the next one's good. Everybody's heard this. He rewards you for the way that you persevere and endure through the Christian life. Paul here, he's at the end of his life. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing. Paul says, man, it got hard in my life. It was a fight. It was a race. But you know what? I finished it. And there's a lot of people in here today. You've been serving God for the past 50 years. And you know what? There's some times where you feel like quitting. You've been serving God for the past 20 years. And there's some times where you're going to feel like quitting. But ain't it good to be able to come to your end of your life and say, you know what? I may have felt like it, but I didn't. I have finished the race that God gave me to run. And He says, now because of that, God is going to give a crown of righteousness to me. So let me tell you something today. You that serve God, keep serving God. Keep serving God. Because there's one thing you don't ever want to do, is quit. The two most miserable people in this world are those that serve God and those that quit serving God. But more miserable than the fact that you have to just push through and serve God is the one who quit. Is the one who looks back and says, why did I quit? So today, whoever you are serving and you're thinking about quitting, don't quit. Because God gives rewards to those who persevere when it gets hard. Now this is for everybody. God also will give you a reward for the way that you work. Servants. It can be translated employees now. Obey in all things your masters, your boss, according to the flesh. Not with eye service, in other words, not just when He's watching. As men pleasers, but in singleness or sincerity of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord, not unto men. Listen to this. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. That is saved. It doesn't matter whether you drive a truck, whether you work at a fast food place, whether you work at the trash dump, whatever you do. If you do it faithfully, if you show up on time, you do it to serve God, God says, I'll reward you for it. And I've said this before, Christians ought to be the hardest working people on earth. Because we're not doing it just to serve our boss, we're doing it to serve God. It doesn't matter what kind of job you have, God expects us to do it to serve Him. So that ought to change, hopefully, the way you wake up in the morning. You want to show up on time. Because you don't just want to please your boss, you want to please God. Not only will He reward you for the way you work, He'll also reward you for the way that you treat other people. Jesus said, whosoever shall give you, my disciples, a cup of water. Very simple. By the way, I need one right now. Y'all got a chance to earn a reward. Somebody get up! Whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. In other words, the smallest little pieces of hospitality that you do to other people, God says, I see it. Yeah, other people may not see it, Johnny. But you know, that's not why we do it anyway. God says, I see it. And you will not lose your reward for the way that you treat not only other people, particularly my people. Because you belong to Christ, He won't lose His reward. And I'm going to give you this last one. Because I think this is one of the most important ones. He'll reward you for the way that you serve Him. For your service. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, therefore when you doest thine alms, in other words, when you serve, don't sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you doest alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth, that alms may be seen in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. In other words, Jesus is saying there's a lot of people that serve God just so you can see them serve God. And I saw this the other day on Facebook. For some reason, I got on there. I regretted it the minute I got on there. So there's this guy sitting on the side of the road asking for money, asking for food, whatever. And the Christian says he felt in his heart that he needed to help him out a little. That's fine. If you feel you need to help somebody out, you need to help somebody out. But at the end of the conversation with this man, giving him a gift card, giving him some food, he looked at the man and said, "Hey brother, come here, let me take a picture with you." And he got his phone out and took a selfie with him. And then about 15 minutes later on Facebook, he put it on there. And he said, "I just wanted everybody to know that I did something good for somebody today." I wanted to take him a pack of cookies. And you know what Jesus said? "Well, good. You have your reward." Because the only thing that you wanted was for other people to see it anyway. And guess what? They did. So you just lost your reward. You did it for that reason. That's your reward. Jesus says, when you serve me, that doesn't mean just do everything in a closet where nobody can see you. That means don't worry about if other people see it or not. Because there's a God in heaven who sees everything you do. And when you serve Him faithfully, He's going to be the one that rewards you one day. So don't worry about other people seeing you. Don't take a selfie and say, "I did something good for so-and-so today." Because by the way, we don't care. Do what we do to serve Him. Not to be seen of other people. And this verse encouraged me this week. It may not you, but it did me. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward His name in that you have ministered to the saints." God will not forget the work you do. God will not forget the time you put in to serve Him and that you have ministered to the saints. So as you look at Revelation chapter number 4 and verse number 4, you see these 24 elders, they're seated around the throne, and the Bible actually says that they have a seat themselves. And we can say the exact same thing. I don't think we deserve a seat. The only one that deserves to be seated is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? Even if they are seated, you can flip over, they ain't going to be seated long. Because the Bible says every time they look at the face of the Savior, they get off their seat. And they fall down. And you know what they do with those crowns that they've earned? They say, "Hey, by the way, the only reason I got this is because you helped me do it anyway. So here you go. This doesn't belong to me. This belongs to you." Because if we even have the ability to serve Him, guess who gave us that ability? He did. And if we can possibly do one thing good, guess who did the good? It was Him. You and I, left to ourselves, would be just like everybody else. The only thing good in you and me is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only reason we can do good is because He lives in us. And He empowers us to do that good. And I don't know about you, I hope this encouraged you today in Revelation 4. Because it's a joy to me today that I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't even know what the next hour holds, but I sure am thankful that my future is sealed. And one day I'll be in heaven worshiping around God's throne forever and ever. Father, we want to thank You for this word this morning. God, we thank You for the future that You've prepared for us, for the home that You've prepared for us. And Father, we just pray that as we live our lives down here, we would live our lives to serve You, God. I know we get wrapped up so many times in other things, temporal things that we can't take with us anyway. So God, I pray that You would help us to be encouraged, help us to be empowered, to live our lives to serve You and only You. Because God, You're so worth it. You're so worthy. So today, God, I pray for those that have been wondering what they should do with their life. I pray that they would just follow You, that they would serve You because it'll be worth it one day. So Lord, we thank You so much for all Your precious gifts and blessings that You bestow upon us. Thank You most of all that we don't get there because of what we do. We get there because of what Christ did for us. So Lord, we praise You for that this morning. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.